Hello, everybody. Welcome to my brand new podcast, Cross Flags Fantasy Racing Weekly. This is my first podcast I have ever done, so please bear with me. It's probably that statement is probably going to be laughable at some point, but my whole goal is to just bring you free DraftKings NASCAR content for free. That is my mission. I'm going to stick with it. Also on my Facebook page, Cross Flags Fantasy Racing Weekly, I will put articles from other trusted sources that I like, you know, stuff that just is a good read, maybe update you on some stuff that would help you out with your fantasy racing on DraftKings. So there is that. I would love it if y'all interacted with me. I love talking NASCAR. I can talk it for hours and hours on end. But as that being said, I am going to move right into the meat and potatoes of this podcast because I'm trying to make them as short as possible because I know not everybody has an hour and a half to listen to a podcast, especially mine. So this weekend, we do have The Clash. They did put a slate out there for it on DraftKings. It is going to be fun, a very short race, so therefore you can win money in a very short period of time. And so I just kind of wanted to give y'all some bullet points to kind of look at, maybe after we get a actual lineup on Saturday evening after they do the drawing, we will move right into some of my picks. I'm going to put some articles out after that drawing having to do with picks for the Clash. DraftKings will not allow me to put an entire lineup together, but I can give you narrow the field down, I guess is what you could say. Narrow the field down to the drivers you want to choose from. I will put a couple cash picks on there for people to see, but I'm also going to have my tournament plays because that is the one thing that everywhere you go, they don't like to put their tournament plays because the tournaments are what wins you the big money. Then they try to charge you for it. I'm not going to do that for this season. So getting into the Clash, the one thing that I wanted to get out of the way is that when you go to every other site, they're going to tell you that there can't be a dominator in restrictor plate racing. I'm here to tell you that's not true. The Daytona 500 proved that last year with Ryan Blaney leading 118 laps, getting the most points, and being in the winning lineup. So it's very rare, but it does happen, so don't let someone tell you that it can't happen. The optimal way to play a restrictor plate race is to pick guys from the back that you're going to think that you think will have lower ownership than other people. So if you have, per se, like some big names back there, like a Jimmy Johnson or a Kevin Harvick, you know, they're going to be high owned. So what I like to do in those types of situations is maybe pick one of them and then go with some of the other guys that I know are lower owned and cross my fingers and hope that they do what I intend to, or what I hope that they are supposed to do and what they need to do to give me my points. Every now and then, you know, you'll have to pick pretty much everybody from the back. But like I said, we don't know who starts in the back. We don't know the rough guesstimation on ownership percentages yet. So like I said, let me just kind of go over some things of what to look for once those the starting lineup does come out. At restrictor plate races, the reason that you pick from the back is because the guys from the back usually move forward. You have to pick out the guys that will do so because you're going to get place differential points. You're also going to get fastest lap points because if they're in the back and they're fast and they're moving up, you get both of those type points to go towards your total. The exact opposite is in play for the guys that start in the front. Usually the guys that qualify in the front trimmed out the car for qualifying. Yes, I'm not talking about the Clash. I know it's a drawing. So when it comes to restrictor plate racing in general, the guys in the front have trimmed out their cars for qualifying, and they just dropped to the back because they never really put handling into it because they wanted to start first in the Daytona 500. So that being said, also you need to look at ownership percentages. That is a metric that it's really just an educated guess on what you're kind of feeling about what everybody's on and their history of the track. And so that is something that, you know,
you want low owned guys. I mean, the lower the owned guy, the better. You don't want a driver that's 60-80% owned. I mean, every now and then
they're in the winning lineup, but you know, you need lower owned guys. So when it comes to the Clash, we're going to wait until the starting lineup comes out, and we will then know who we're going to target, who we're going to pick, and kind of go from there. So moving on to the lineup in the race, we have Kurt Busch with a new team, Chip Ganassi Racing. We have Keselowski, same team, Team Penske. Austin Dillon, still Richard Childress Racing, but he has his best buddy on the pit box, and Danny Stockman. They won championships together. Really, really excited about that venture there, because Austin Dillon was already good in DraftKings lineups, and I think that just makes him better. Kevin Harvick, same team, same everything. Ryan Newman, new team, Roush Fenway Racing. With him being there, you know, they're just the best in the business at restrictor plate racing. And Ryan Newman is a significant upgrade from his teammate, Ricky Stenhouse. So definitely a guy to keep an eye on. Chase Elliott, same team. Hendrick Motorsports. Eric Almirola, same team. Stuart Haas Racing. He's going to be a player, just someone to definitely keep an eye on. Denny Hamlin, same team. Did get a new crew chief in Chris Gabehart. And, Chris Gabehart came from the Xfinity Series, did very well down there. So I think with this new venture for Hamlin, because Hamlin, this is a make it or break it year for him. So, but he's a great restrictor plate racer. Ryan Blaney has two great teammates to learn from, and Keselowski and Logano. So he led 118 laps last year in the Daytona 500. So definitely a good racer, going to be a superstar in the making for sure. Clint Bowyer, the biggest superstar, most under-owned player as a superstar in the sport. And same team, Stuart Haas Racing. Kyle Busch, same team, Joe Gibbs. Got him a new teammate, Martin Truex Jr. over at Joe Gibbs. Same crew chief. Really nothing to say there, just kind of seeing how he settles in over there at Joe Gibbs Racing. Eric Jones won the Coca-Cola 400 last year for his first win at Daytona. And, just someone to keep an eye on. Nothing's really changed as far as his teams. So moving on to Paul Menard, same team. Wood Brothers has their nice affiliation with Penske. So it's also a good value option. Logano at Penske, nothing's changed there. I think he's going to be a Hall of Fame crew chief. Definitely someone, not to overlook. Jay McMurray, one of my favorite restrictor plate racers. Has a ride for the Clash and the 500. Just don't sleep on this dude. He will put that car anywhere. He's not afraid to make anybody mad. That's why he's won a couple of these restricted plate races, and just someone that I just don't ever overlook at restricted plate racers racing. Daniel Suarez over there at brand new team, Stuart Haas Racing, has some great teammates. Actually, comes in at second on the average points at Daytona, but he only has four races to judge that from. I usually like 7, 8, or 9 races. That's a good sample size. He's only got four, so kind of take that with a grain of salt. Next would be Kyle Larson, the wild man himself. Can't ever get to the end of a race, but when he does, he usually wins it. Restricted plate racing. This being a short race at the Clash, I think he's someone to definitely look at, keep an eye on. Jimmy Johnson. The only thing that's changed there is he has a new crew chief in Kevin Mendering, which was Elliott Sadler's old crew chief in the Xfinity Series. So that's going to be a new venture for him. I think that might spark something in Jimmy, even though I do have a couple questions about Jimmy later on in the season. But as far as for this type of a track, I think you definitely have to, you know, not count him out. Alex Bowman, nothing's changed for him, and he is the final entrant. So going into these clashes, man, the best thing you need to do is, one, look at the data. Yes, I'm going to put articles out about that. The other thing that I do, I have a friend of mine that has the uncanny ability of watching practices and being able to pull out four or five of the fastest cars. He is a huge part of my process, and we've won a lot of money. And his analysis as far as watching the practices, which I've got a good bit out of it. When you watch the practices, you can see how the car handles. You can see which ones can move. The one thing you want to look for at restrictor plate races, if you're going to watch the practices, is the cars that can move at any given moment, at any given time, and put their car in any given position is good. If you see a car that looks like he doesn't mind putting his car anywhere on that track, that is definitely someone with a good handling race car, and they're probably going to be there at the end if they don't get caught up in a crash. So visual analysis is also good by watching the practices along with the just regular different data points that I use to come up with some of my projections and some of my evaluations of these drivers. So I'm going to put, like I said, I'm going to put out articles on the clash, my picks for the clash, and I hope y'all enjoy this. I hope that, you know, you get something out of this. Please interact with me at my Facebook page, Cross Flags Fantasy Racing Weekly. I really would like to talk to everybody. If you have any questions about any drivers and what I think or whatever that might not be in my article, just kind of send me a message or post on the page, or, you know, excuse me, what you think you might, you know, need to pick between your, if you find yourself, you can't choose between a couple drivers or whatever the case may be, man. I love talking NASCAR, and hopefully we can win some money for this clash. So that being said, look out for my articles for the clash after the drawing. I think the drawing is at 6 on Saturday night. After they do that drawing, we'll have a full lineup, and I will have all of my picks at that point. So until then, y'all have a good one.